This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail Cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh, I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Josh, coming out of this long holiday Thanksgiving break here in the States, but nothing ever changes when it comes to FPL. You know, you have a big holiday, big drawn-out holiday in the States, but you still have Fantasy Premier League, which is why we're here, Josh.
Yeah, and one of the great Thanksgiving traditions, by the way, is a truly crummy slate of Europa League fixtures. Like, every single year, it's like Spurs or Arsenal are playing some random team at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's like I forget, you know, it's always like 78 minutes of the match, and I'm like, oh yeah, like what's going to happen in Arsenal Krasnodar, you
know? Sure, like... seamlessly move from, you know, the Lions v the Falcons to CSK locomotive, what have you, and Spurs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was a good holiday week. The fantasy week was it's been a big whatever for me. But you know, I've got four players left to go, so I'm not going to complain too much. The big thing for me this week was sitting on my hands, which is a theme from 2 weeks ago. And Brandon, the cycle repeats itself. So I have an opening question that we'll get to in just a second here, which is I want to talk about our transfers so far this season. I have pulled my non-wildcard transfers this year. Yeah. I pulled yours as well. You can see them laid out in front of us, taunting us. Or
it's wild just to look at these.
Depending on how you think about it. And we're going to talk a little bit about our transfers and talk about which ones worked, which ones didn't. Kind of interesting, I think, to look back a little bit and have a little bit of be a little, you know, self-critical and and decide, you know, what you did right and what you didn't. So talk about that in just a second. Brandon, how was your fantasy week?
Yeah, you know, it's a little bit of this, it's a little bit of that. I had a classic FPL game week where Saturday was good and it's always the come down on Sunday. Yeah. I'm really waiting for the kind of really blockbuster Saturday followed by a blockbuster Sunday. Just really not happening for me. I hit my Kevin De Bruyne captaincy on Saturday, and we were talking about this yesterday. You cannot say that you're disappointed with a double-digit haul. 10 points doubled from Kevin De Bruyne.
Yep.
Super. It is this sublime ridiculousness of him lashing a shot off of the post in the final minute of the game, where you then start to calculate how different your life would be if you had 12 extra points in your game week score.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did kind of a rash transfer heading into the game week 10 deadline, and I burned -4 to get Grealish and Bamford. Who leaves for Grealish? Well, of course, it's Daniel Podence, who burns me against Arsenal with the goal. That is going to happen.
That's painful, yeah.
Grealish could pay me back as we're recording this before the Monday slate of fixtures. And then Bamford comes in for Jimenez. So horrible injury to Jimenez. Truly, truly hope that he is okay. Like horrible scenes on TV watching that head collision. But the Grealish move, it was a combo move that had to be a -4 because I couldn't do a straight swap Podence to Grealish. And would you agree with me, Josh, that if you have Jimenez and Podence, the priority heading into this weekend was to get rid of Podence over Jimenez?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, he gets injured the 13th minute or whatever, and it clouds your thinking. But Jimenez is dangerous at home on the road versus good teams versus bad. Yeah. Jimenez is a great fantasy asset. Podence is an interesting one, but he's certainly very inconsistent and not a, you know, and you didn't have Jack Grealish, who is, his ownership is getting quite high, has a pretty good fixture tomorrow against West Ham. We'll see how he does, but wouldn't surprise me if he did something in that match. So I think it worked out okay.
So to make that move to get Grealish, I had to free up some cash, which is why I did the -4. And it is an opportunity to, I feel like I was an oddball with Jimenez up front, and it was very, it was not smooth sailing with Jimenez. Yeah. And I kind of wanted a piece of interesting new striker FPL action. And Ollie Watkins and Patrick Bamford, definitely the dudes to start the season. So now I'm feeling kind of like I'm having fun up front with the Patrick Bamford pickup. So let's see how that goes. So on the whole, I am 40 with a -4, so 36 net. And I think the brightest spot is actually Mendy in goal for me, who I also burned for to get in two clean sheets in a row. This transfer is paying dividends for me. Yeah. So that's a real bright spot.
Yeah, I really wish I had been told that Jose Mourinho wouldn't even try to win that match. And that may have changed my transfer strategy a little bit. I have two transfers going into this game week, but what I don't have are Jota and KDB, who I was really talking myself into a -4 for those players. And then I decided that I could get enough from Rashford and Son to make it worthwhile. Now, in the end, this is why a -4 is not something that people should just do indiscriminately, because, you know, I got 8 points from, so combined KDB and Jota combined for 19 points, right? Quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And clearly I should have made that transfer. There's no, I'm not, you know, going to go back on that at all, but
sure. Because you're going to have to be getting Kevin De Bruyne ahead of game week 11. We know this.
Yeah, exactly. That's fine. I've got two transfers, easy to do. So I have those two transfers and, or, you know, if I made those two transfers, I would have 19 points, right? But it would be on a -4. So I'd have 15 total points, net from those two transfers.
Yeah.
Marcus Rashford and Son, the two players I would have moved, combined for 8 points, right? So 8 minus 15, it's not that much, right?
You can, I'm like, scribbling you can really, on the back of an envelope right now, trying to follow
you can really kick yourself about this stuff, but ultimately it's a 7-point difference. Your season is not going to be won and lost on 7 points. And so it's good to keep that kind of perspective too. And, you know, I probably would have captained KDB if I brought him in. I got, you know, KDB got 10, Bruno got 10. It's a total neutral move there. So I was really annoyed about it because I feel like I just wasn't aggressive enough. And I feel like that was, you know, I'm not all about making -4s all the time, but I think, you know, I really got a little, I just didn't listen to reason, I think. You know, there's this idea of Man City at home versus a Burnley team that have looked quite poor all season, and they're playing their backup keeper, right? Like when you sort of just lay it out very cleanly, that is a situation that where -4 feels very smart. And especially when you think about wanting to have those two players long term. So, you know, this actually leads me into the opening question, which is, you know, how are our non-wildcard transfers going? And I have this sort of, and the reason for this was I had this feeling that I am doing better this season when I just use one transfer. I've got one problem and I make one transfer. And I have been getting into trouble when I'm trying to think 3, 4, 5 game weeks ahead. And I'm sure every transfer is built around this perfect strategy of every piece clicking perfectly. And, you know, that has not been working for me. And so I wanted to look back at my transfers and yours and just see how they've gone so far. Okay. So we'll start with mine and then we'll go to yours. And I've excluded wild cards because I just think that well, first of all, it's just too many transfers to talk about in the pod. But I also think that's a slightly different situation, the wild card. Totally. And yeah, and my wild card went great. My wild card put me into the top 100K.
Lest you forget, dear listener.
Well, yeah, exactly. Just a little reminder there. My season's going fine. You know, I'm like 200K overall. I'm great, Brandon. Don't worry about me.
No one's worried about you, Josh Landon
is doing fine. Okay.
I've got plenty to worry about over here.
Not me. Sure. I understand that. All right. So transfers. Going to game week two. Jared Bowen out, James Rodriguez in. A wonderful transfer. My best of the season. A great one. All right.
Immediately pays off because didn't Rodriguez get a brace that game week?
Goal assist and 3 bonus points.
Close enough.
Or two, actually. That was the DCL hat trick match.
Right.
So then game week 3, I burn 4. I take out Aubameyang and Saint-Maximin, and I bring in Kevin De Bruyne and Daniel Podence. Daniel Podence, I believe, is immediately injured and does not play in the match at all. And Kevin De Bruyne, I think he blanks, and then I think he gets immediately injured himself.
He gets an injury as well.
Yeah. Those two transfers out of minus 4 were both a big fail. I wouldn't say that either one of those was very good, and I had to drop KDB, so that one didn't work out either. Next game week, I move from Ben Davis to Reece James, which James doesn't play a minute. And Ben Davis comes on late and gets 4 points because he picks up an assist. This is all off the top of my head, by the way. I can't believe my stupid brain. Like,
I know how your brain works.
Yeah. So that was like a net 4. I can't remember what I got off the bench, but I think it was like one point from a defender who replaced James. So that one doesn't work out well. But again, there's an interesting thing here, is that in Reece James, I got so frustrated with it, I basically it pushed me to wild card because I was like, well, James is like 2 transfers because now I've got to drop him again. He didn't start, I think, again in game week 5, and then he's been awesome since then. And we'll talk more about Chelsea defense in the game week 11 preview. So then I wild card, and then I decide once again I'm going to hold my beautiful transfer in game week 6 for game week 7. I make 2 bad transfers. I move James Rodriguez and Riyad Mahrez to Marcus Rashford and Phil Foden. Phil Foden, a complete fantasy disaster. I know he picked up an assist, but this is just a player you do not want on your team at all. Like, there's no having a player where every week you're sweating the clean sheet, like the team sheet, to see if they're going to start. Not worth it. Not fun at all. And then Marcus Rashford just should have gone Bruno right away, you know. And I corrected the mistake by bringing in Bruno later, but I went with the B plus fantasy asset over the A one, and that usually is going to hurt you.
Just to jump in there, and you're right. Everything you said there about Bruno being the dude over Rashford, but at that point where both of us brought Rashford in, he was in incredible form, and I have a bone to pick with Sir Marcus Rashford in that his form just absolutely disappeared after that once we brought him in, and man, that's done.
So that brings me to my final transfers, which is game week 9. Sace to Koufal, thumbs up. Salah to Fernandez, gotta say thumbs up there, right? I mean,
sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's 21 points from Fernandez in the last 2. And then Foden to Ziyech, which as a transfer, I just didn't need to make at all. And so didn't need to. I would have the money. I'd say 2. I'll say 2 out of 3 on that one.
Well, are you on Ziyech then? Do you feel like this is a transfer? I mean, he's heavily involved in the attack, and this is something that long term. Yes, he plays very much on the the right touchline. Often
he plays in the stands. Okay, he is so far on the right touchline that he's like in the 4th row. Okay,
he thinks he's actually employed by the old Fantasy Premier League game doing man in the stands bonus point allocation. What he's doing?
He wishes it was one of those stadiums that had a track around the outside so that he could run laps in between possessions.
But that's a hold for the moment. I think Ziyech could come good.
I mean, was he the worst player on the pitch today? I mean, he probably was. I can't think of anyone who was worse than him. He was dreadful. I mean, he couldn't complete a pass. He whiffed his one sort of big opportunity. It was just a real disaster, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I can't argue with that. So that this is an interesting perspective for me, because you have a decent start to the season, as you mentioned, 200K OR, and that's a position of strength, and you can really push yourself forward as the season marches on. And I am all the way back around 2.8 million right now. And as I look back at my transfers, I'm kind of like, well, I don't know. These are all pretty good transfers.
So what does it say? What does it say about our psychology then? That I'm 200K overall and I'm like disgusted with myself, and you are 2 point whatever and you're like, not bad.
Well, I mean, I could tell so many stories sports related and our friendship. And I think the one that comes to mind is watching a Michigan State basketball game. And Michigan State was it UConn that they were playing in the Final Four or something? And they were dominating. And through the course of two possessions, Michigan State sort of concede 4 points to the bad. And you're apoplectic. And you're like, well, the game's over. I might as well just go home. So this is 100% reflected in the Always Cheating Twitter feed. Like you are reactionary by nature. Yes. And yes. I think your impulse
not my politics, but yes, as a fantasy manager. Yes.
Yeah. I think your impulse is, how do I affect this? And you know, you understand that you can't affect what's going out on the field. Only the players can. But I think you believe enough in some kind of spiritual energy that if you put it out into the universe, a la The Secret, maybe you can make something happen. I mean, otherwise, it's just like a lot of bad takes.
Well, there's some good ones in there. First of all, that Ziyech take comes right from the Twitter feed, Brandon, and that was a good take then. It's still a good take 8 hours later. I think there's a willingness to exist. I think for me, it's like being on the therapist chair. You know, I mean, it's like you go and you just say the most vile stuff about the match you're watching or the players or VAR or whatever the case may be. And it just sort of gets it out of your system. You know, I was sort of joking about it this morning, but I was so enraged by VAR yesterday, as I am once a weekend. Once a weekend, I just lose it about how much I hate it. And it feels like it's always the first match of the week. It's like I think the VAR people in the booth, they have a little too much coffee that first match. They're a little too amped up. Or strong tea. I don't know what it is. And they're just, everything is getting reviewed. Every marginal thing gets reviewed. And then it kind of slows down and calms down over the course of a weekend. So maybe if I just stop watching the first match. But anyway, the point is, I this stuff happens, and then I tweet it out. And then it's sort of out of my system, you know? And then like with the VR stuff, I'll go in there and say something. And like 8 hours later, people will be like commenting me about it. And I'm like, listen, I'm not even angry anymore. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why you're so angry. it's completely fine, guys.
Yeah.
VAR is part of the game.
The VAR conversation was especially interesting to me this weekend in light of Diego Maradona's passing, because particularly when you're engaging with British fans and they have a storied history in the World Cup with Diego Maradona, and you think, does World Cup 86 end the way it does if we're living in the world of VAR? And just thinking about Maradona's legacy and reflecting upon him and accepting that he was a great athlete, a great sportsman. And I do not think it is precious to say that he was very much an artist. And that is what really sticks in a lot of people's craw with VAR, is the World Cup 86, the hand of God and all this sort of thing. It is something that is a legend, that whether you're on the winning side or the losing side, or you just appreciate what Maradona did, we're still talking about it. We'll be talking about it for generations. And it is not about if the law was broken or not. It was just about this magic that was there. And that's something that, we're missing because of VAR. And this is what we were also talking about earlier, Josh. No fans in the stands. There's something a little off kilter about this season so far.
Yeah.
With COVID-19. And so I think I'm just kind of hoping that we get a little bit of that artistry and that magic back pretty soon.
Well, you know, and it was with fans in the stands, and I think it's about half the stadiums, starting actually with Arsenal's Europa League match on Thursday. It's, I'm pretty excited. I have to say, I'm pretty excited about having some fans back. I think it will help. And you know, and again, like, thank you to everyone who's listening and sticking with us, because, you know, no one thinks this is normal, you know, like four matches spread out across 10 hours, no fans in the stands, super funky score lines, Everton doing well. These are not things that are normal, Brandon. These aren't things that we want, you know.
But well, the universe is correcting that Everton thing, by the way. So yeah. don't you worry yeah. about that.
I know. I should have picked on somebody who was doing a little better. They've fallen back a little. So anyway, let's talk about your transfers.
Okay. Yeah. This is a little bit like looking at these transfers. It's a little bit like there's an episode of Band of Brothers where it's called The Replacements, and it's all about, all right, these guys got to the front, they yeah. died. And so we just ship in these new guys yeah. to replace them, and then they die. And nobody really wants to make friends with any yeah. of the replacements because everybody dies. And that's just kind of the horror of yeah. it all. Yeah. So I'm looking at this list of transfers that I've made, and it's all replacements getting shipped off to the Western Front. And I'm feeling that sting very much with Lucas Dean at the moment. But yeah, let's go back all the way to game week two, where I dropped Virgil van Dijk. I can't even remember the logic behind these things. I think I dropped van Dijk for Dean because of the shocking scoreline against Leeds, and right. just wondering what was yeah, going on there, and why didn't I have an attacking fullback instead yeah. of a center back?
Yeah. It seems logical enough, right? You ship seven goals, you know, and or no, I guess there was only three in that one.
Yeah, you're match, looking but, ahead to the Aston yeah. Villa match.
Sure.
And the -4 that I took was to hit out Saka, Arsenal legend, who mm-hmm. Saka might actually be Arsenal's best player right now. I'm not yeah. sure. And I brought in Jack Harrison based on that Liverpool
It was a sentimental transfer.
Yeah, back to our NYCFC days. Lucas Dean, I actually held Dean I still have him. I think that was overall a fine pick. Jack Harrison, a really bad pick, as was reflected in the wild card that I popped in game week three. Right. So let's jump ahead to game week four. Timo Werner, who was a wild card pick, he was immediately bounced from my side for Danny Ings. Fantastic transfer. And Phil Foden, bad wild card pick. This is game week five. Foden out for James Rodriguez. I missed that haul that you got in game mm-hmm. week four, but it was still a pretty good transfer for me until ruptured his testicle.
I think he had to get one assist out of that, actually. he was so hot, and then it was over. It was like a fun, yeah. He looks good, though. He looked good. I actually thought he looked good on Saturday.
I agree. And he was fired up, too. I think that he knows that that team is really relying upon him. Yeah. Looks like it was a -4 for me in game week five. So it was James in for Foden and De Bruyne out for Heung-min Son. Yeah. And I captained Son, and that was a good pick for me. And we're still rolling with Spurs assets, so I feel like that was a good transfer. Speaking of, in game week six, Danny Ings with the injury, easy transfer. He's sure. out for yep. Harry Kane. Just no problem. Slam dunk. Somehow Virgil van Dijk has ended up in my squad going into game week seven. And his lower body gets absolutely exploded by Jordan Pickford in the Merseyside yeah. derby. And he yeah. has to be replaced by none other than Matt Target. And Matty Target, we will always have your clean sheet and assist against Arsenal no yep. matter what happens. Burning points left and right. The other -4, game week seven, James Rodriguez with his busted balls. He's out for Marcus Rashford, which was, as discussed, a bad transfer. Another -4 in game week eight, Matt Ryan and Roman Sace. You guys, neither of them played in game week seven, so they're out. Mendy and Bellerin come in. They do not pay off in game week eight, but they pay me back in spades in game week nine. So I think Mendy,
some bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Mendy, definitely a good transfer for me thus far. Bellerin is quickly becoming a problem. Like I talked last week about his 9-pointer against Leeds being kind of ill-gotten gains.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this Arsenal squad is a complete mess at the moment. Yeah. And much was being made when I made the Bellerin pickup of, well, at least they're defending well. The problem is Arsenal going forward. So Bellerin seemed like a fine pickup, but I am now looking at all these premium midfielders and I need every penny that I can dig out of the cash.
We'll talk about them in just a couple of minutes here in the Game Week 11 preview. So we still have a couple more transfers to go here, Brandon. You're just rolling through the transfers here.
Yeah, three more to go. So my one Game Week 9 transfer was Salah to De Bruyne. That's a good one in that I want De Bruyne. I captained him to great effect. The issue here is Salah is immediately back, and now I want Salah back.
Yeah, yeah.
He does look
very dangerous in that first half.
Another minus four in game week 10. I mentioned this with my sort of recap of where my score is now, but Podence and Jimenez out for Grealish and Bamford. So far, that's not been a great move given Podence's returns, but I think long term that was kind of a no-brainer. Yeah. So if I look at this on the whole, what do you make of my transfer strategy? Lots of points hits, but beyond that, I feel like I'm getting the big names in, baby.
Yeah, I think it's really the point hits that do stand out. It wasn't until I looked at this and I pulled up your team a minute ago. So you've taken a minus four in five of the first 10 game weeks, and you wildcarded in one of the other 10. So in only 40% of the game weeks so far this season, spent some form of capital. So I do think that maybe you're making too many transfers. I think that is one thing that might be the case. Even though the players you're bringing in are good, it may be costing you too much. I mean, because that's 20 points, and you're talking about burning another minus four for game week 11, right? So,
sure,
that's minus 24 points right there just on those transfers. It does create a burden, and again, I think it's, and I don't mean this to be overly critical, but it's like the Potence thing. It's like it's unlikely that he does that, but it is possible always, that he's a good player. Sure. So it's one of those questions of whether it is worth. Now, you needed to probably make those moves, but sometimes there you is can wait, stretch it out over 2 weeks.
Yeah, the answer lies somewhere in between. I mean, you're talking about the curse of two transfers, and you felt like going into this weekend, you were sitting on your hands and you had options to make and you didn't, you chose to do nothing. And that was my big takeaway from last season, was like letting FPL happen to you versus going out there and being proactive. So I think I've probably taken that a little too close to heart, and I'm being a little too active. I think there is something to that.
Something in between, yeah. Well, I think this is interesting. It was kind of fun to run through these, sort of enlightening, if only for me and you, Brandon. enlightening. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to talk about game week 11. We also have, I meant to tease this at the top of the pod, but we're really excited. We had an interview. We actually recorded this earlier today with Tilly Webb. She is an 8-year-old girl. She lives in England. She's a big Aston Villa supporter. And out of the 19,940 managers in the Always Cheating Super League, she is ranked number 2 overall. She was going in this weekend. She still has 4 players left for tomorrow. So let's give her the minus 2 at the moment. The number 2 overall at the moment. She was in the top 200. I think as of live rank, she's top 600. So that is still a higher height than many managers listening to the podcast have ever attained before. So
we had to speak to her and find out what her secrets are. And her father insists he has absolutely nothing to do with it. Yeah. And based on his FPL history, I believe it. So it's all Tilly. Yeah. So yeah, she was really fun to talk to.
Yeah. So stick around. That'll be at the end of the pod this week. So, but it's a really fun conversation. It was really cool to get a chance to talk to her and to enter Dadmark. And they're awesome people. So that's coming soon, but let's take a quick break. We'll get back and talk about game week 11.
All right, Josh, let's check in on that Always Cheating Super League in which Tilly is really having an outstanding season. What can you do to participate in this massive 20,000 plus manager Super League? Well, it's easy. Just go to alwayscheating.com and click the league tab. Our league code is on all of our social media, et cetera. So running through our top 10 managers using our new favorite site, FPLGameWeek.com. We shouted them out last week, and if you haven't, we've gotten lots of great feedback on FPLGameWeek.com. Perfect place to track your mini leagues live in real time, and also your overall rank as the game week rolls on. So the Super League, we've got a top 11 here, Josh. A little shout out for Tilly, who, as you mentioned, Tilly Webb, our former number two. She's got a few players left to go. She's now in 11th spot. In 10th place, it's Gunnar Georgeson. In 9th place, Edie Marzuk. 8th place, Kudawashi Muzawazi. In 7th place, it's Craig McDermott. And we've got a huge three-way tie for 4th place with Darren Sparks, Yusuf Zaini, and Lefker Usuma. Thank you. In 3rd place, it's Dimitar Simo. In 2nd place, Neil Head. And our 1st place manager is Tony Scarpenhead. Congratulations to the top three managers who have now broken the 700-point barrier. I dare to dream.
Seriously. We'll get there, Brandon. Give us a handful of weeks. You know, we'll crack that too. Maybe three. I don't know. Just a quick note, Patreon. We're in the final 16 in the Harvey Milk Mustache Cup. Brandon will be in the Elite Eight next week. I'm going to use all the NCAA tournament terminology here, but we're getting down a little bit. Still too many teams to list off on each podcast, but when we get down to the final four, we'll start giving some shout outs though. But that's been a lot of fun. And we're going to run another one of those this spring. And shout out to all of our patrons though. New patrons, a few Lord Soroth patrons this week, Tron Solberg, Nibir Islam, and Alex S. Thank you to our newest Patreon supporters. And quick note, it's December 1st, kicks off the holidays. So if you have been on the fence about becoming an Always Shooting Patreon supporter, think of it as a little December pledge drive. This is your chance to support the podcast and say thank you, and we'd really appreciate it. And if you pledge at the Volkswagen tier or above, you get a free T-shirt. So we'll do our best to get those out to you in time for the holidays. So
for sure,
yeah, we do have a shop. The alwayscheating.com website. We have a shop where you can buy bus team T-shirts and kind of all the slogans that you know and tolerate from the podcast can be purchased at the Always Cheating Shop.
I wish we could get a cameo for like a cameo style video from Dia Mercy Mbakani that we could sell on the shop. So yeah, hit us if you're Mbakani's lawyer, hit us up.
Yeah, hit us up. So patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can go to support the podcast. We hope you do. And thank you to everyone who currently does.
Yeah, and since we're going to conclude this episode with our great interview with Tilly and Mark Webb, we thought this would be a good slot to thank our esteemed producers. So let's quickly run through these names. We know them. We love them. Producers Trevor Ingerson, Mike DiPietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, to Big Gaffer, Bob Ascoon, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, Dave Wegner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forberg, Skogging, Paul Herzig, Kaya Christine Lalang, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Paul Scanlon, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Producer Matt, Mikey Uong, Bruce Kerr, Alper Paxoy, Nicholas Verdakis, Sam Schauer, Will Husby, Rich Evans, Bobby Styles. Thanks to you all. Josh, let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we have our key questions for game week 11.
I love it. I could listen to you read off those producer names.
I can keep going hours. If you want.
Yes, make up a few. Yeah. Now, thank you, Brandon. I'll be back for just a minute. All right, we're back. Game week 11 kicks off in about 5 days. We're recording this on Sunday night.
Fast and furious, my God.
You know, have you seen this, by the way? There is a little bit of worry about some COVID cases, some COVID problems with the Newcastle squad. And so there's a little bit of concern about whether, you know, if the breakout is, or the, you know, if the outbreak is bad enough, this match could get moved or postponed, or we'll see, has, you know, this is sort of shockingly has not affected the Premier League so far. In American sports, this has been a pretty standard thing. Just this last weekend, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Baltimore Ravens had a match that it may go on Tuesday. It may not. It was supposed to be Thanksgiving. They went back 5 days, and it's just a real mess right now here in America. So it may be that match gets that something happens. I didn't mean to plant a bunch of worry, but I'm just saying that there has been some news about a bunch of COVID cases in Newcastle, so keep our eye out.
Yeah, I mean, that's something to keep in mind in case it impacts your captaincy. I mean, Jack Grealish at home against Newcastle could be in the conversation, and you maybe, I mean, the beauty, though, of this match being the first kickoff is we'll probably have as much information as we're going to get when that hour and a half deadline is, but I agree, it's just something to monitor.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, it could be that it just gets moved a few days, too. So it could still fall into the game week, right? It's a Friday match. It could move to next Wednesday, and it would still, you know, count. So just something to note. But that's, well, I feel like I dropped that, and then I'm like, oh, let's have like a normal conversation about, you know, the game week. But
moving on.
Yeah, we'll see. So five questions for game week 11. We're going to start things off with a little bit of ranking. I love mm-hmm. rank. I love the Smiths album rank. I love ranking top five list, Brandon. And I also love ranking fantasy midfielders. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
I love things that smell bad, things that are rank.
You're like Oscar the Grouch. Yeah. So Raleigh says, with so many desirable premium assets, KDB, Bruno, Salamani, Kane, Son, Werner. Oh, this is the missing forwards in here too. Kane, Son, Werner, and Vardy, etc. How do you rate them? And is it worth having four if you can fit them in? So four assets. Now, look at my team here. I guess I have one, two, three. I have three already. And I've got Rashford and Ziyech, who are kind of like B+. They're not quite at that top tier. So,
yeah,
I think having four, you and I think both are trying to get four, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to get four. I only have two with just KDB and Kane. And I would say both KDB and Kane are season keepers for me. I am not in the camp that's looking to move Kane to Vardy. So four for me, this is something I was tinkering with all afternoon, actually ahead of the pod, was how do I get these four? And it's an easy choice for me. KDB, Kane, Bruno, and Salah. Whatever I can do to get those four, and it could take me up to a month to get these guys. I mean, given the evidence that we were just going through, though, Josh, of my hits, it could take me just 2 weeks. But I feel like you have to start making cases for players like Werner and Vardy and Mane, whereas the cases have already been made for Bruno, for Salah. De Bruyne is kind of like, I guess you would say he's on a short leash, just given Manchester City's form and flavor. What did you make of that Burnley result? That, I mean, you said last week that you wouldn't be convinced of City until they put up one of those classic Pep City results, 5-0. Yeah. Were you not entertained?
Yeah, I thought that watching the match. I thought this is exactly, and you know, sure. I mean, this is like the double-edged sword of the sometimes you want to you know move early before all those show me what you got people catch up. Right. But I really wasn't sure. And you know, the midweek Champions League match was another 1-0. Phil Foden scores one first half goal and then they hold on for a 1-0 win, you know? So it wasn't like they came out of that Spurs match just like rocking and rolling, you know? And so I was like, well, I mean, I knew they were at home, but just with the weird rotations this season at City and, Burnley had kept two clean sheets back to back. So I mean, whatever, it is what it is. I mean, like, you know, as I said before, it is what it is. What a cliche thing to say, but you know, as I said before, it's,
are you wearing a cowboy hat right now? I feel like you can only say it is what it is. If you're like peering under the brim of a cowboy hat.
Should I have brought in a Man City player? Yes. Should I have brought in two? I don't know. I don't even know what two you'd bring in. I guess you could bring in a defender or something. I mean, at this point, is there anyone besides KDB? I mean, I feel like we're sort of taking this question and turning this into a Man City discussion, but I think that's fine. Is there anyone besides KDB that you would consider for your team? And Ferran Torres only got 60 minutes, scores, you know, right before it gets subbed off. Very cheap. It's available at a very fair price in the game. Is he somebody that you would consider?
No. No, he wasn't on the ball enough for me. And Mahrez gets all the headlines, but we already know the story with Mahrez. And a hat trick like that is not nearly enough to compel me to get back on that roller coaster.
Yeah.
So, and Jesus this is, it's an interesting thing with City, a team that is so noted for its attack, where their number nine is never a player worth having unless it's Aguero, maybe. But it, the number nine for City seems to only kind of facilitate the number 10 and the wingers to get involved in the attack. So De Bruyne is it. And maybe if you're feeling frisky, you go for a Ruben Diaz.
Yeah. I think that Mendy scoring today is just makes Cancelo scary enough. If Mendy doesn't score, maybe you still consider it, because Cancelo has looked very good so far this season. But I think with the Mendy goal, you're like, eh. And Pep made some comments about, you know, goal scorers are in their place in the squad or whatever. It was like just like enough to be like, ugh, great. Now you still have Zinchenko there too, right? So you've got three left backs in that squad, all of whom are pretty decent. I think you're right. I think it's Diaz. Mahrez, like, come on. We've been down this road before with Mahrez, right? Like
Too many times.
Sterling, I mean, I love him as a differential, but like, is this guy going to like earn his spot back or something, right? I mean, it's 18 total minutes in the last two matches. He's had a really poor season, as we talked about on last week's podcast. I mean, two goals and one assist on the season. And and he had actually started the first eight matches. So it wasn't like he was, you know, injured or played in limited minutes or anything like that.
Yeah, I agree. So that's City. I think the one question here, if we're going back to our ranks and Raleigh's question, is Son. Son is the one player in this list who we both have. And even after the blanks for Kane and Son against Chelsea, I still feel pretty good about Spurs' assets. The thing with Son, though, is I still rate him, and I'm happy to have him. But I'm not able to make the case for him over KDB or over Bruno or over Salah. It's just a process of elimination for me with him. So maybe Son becomes an upside pick after enough managers, you know, kind of sell him off. What's Son's ownership right now is close to 58%.
Yeah.
It's just outrageous. Super high. It's an interesting thought then to quickly move Son to somebody like De Bruyne, who has under 20% ownership. I mean, that's definitely going to be higher than 20% going into game week 11.
Yeah, it's really, you may just have to do it. And, you know, it's three blanks and four for Son as well, which I think his early returns were so massive that it may have. He's an excellent player, obviously. Like when you talk about like moving these players around, and this is the trap I fell into, you know, you get caught up in sometimes, you know, in this sitting in your hand scenario that I was talking about earlier, you get caught up in focusing on how good these players are. You're like, well, Son is a great player. Son can score on the counterattack. Son has nine goals on the season. Son, of course, can breach this Chelsea defense. Challenge is transferring very good players for other very good players. And obviously, you know, it's also just worth keeping in mind that, there's no like Rosetta Stone out there that like just like enables you to just like perfectly, you know, like Rosetta Stone, maybe not the right word to use here, but just like to perfectly like figure out like, okay, I've deciphered the best, like this is the way the future is going to play out, right? Like I've cracked the code.
You're looking for Biff's Sports Almanac, is that?
Yeah,
Biff's
Sports. Yeah, that's a better. Yeah, exactly. Back to the Future 2. I feel like I need, like, you know, it's like, yeah, sometimes you're going to transfer to a player like Son, it's going to come back to haunt you. I mean, honestly, if I had my choice, I would keep Son and I would bring in, I would take out Ziyech, who I'm just already like just completely. I'm just done with him already. Yeah. He could not have looked worse. I don't really don't know why you're giving him any credit, because he was so bad today.
Yeah.
But you know, I think he probably stays though, just because he's like a million cheaper than Son. It's easier for me to make the transfers I want to make. So yeah, I think Son and Kane, that may just be too much. And I think looking ahead, I think the issue here is that they still have a bunch of tricky fixtures. I mean, the North London Derby next weekend, away to Palace, not easy, certainly. Palace did, you know, capitulate, very, you know, right at the end of that other match, you know, their match with Newcastle. Mm-hmm. away to Liverpool, obviously not an easy match, and then home to Leicester in game week 14. So, you know, we're talking about a pretty tricky stretch, you know, right through December. And so I think, you know, Kane is a player that I still really believe in. Although, God, like, is he just not going to play as a forward ever anymore? Like, it was insane.
I liked how you described him as Yaya Toure earlier today. I thought that was pretty apt. I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah, it's like he's doing like a total box to box thing, which is fine. But like, are you going to play a forward then? Or are you just going to like just not like you're just going to have all midfielders then? Like, it's like who scores when you just have all midfielders? Like, I don't understand what like it wasn't like there was like a bunch of like space. There was nobody in the box. There was, you know, it was just they were just passing it around. I didn't feel like there was any sort of incision, you know, in their attack. And it's where you really feel the loss of someone like Eriksen, and why I was really surprised that Bale didn't, you know, I felt a little cowardly on Mourinho's part not to bring in Bale in that match.
You wonder if Lo Celso, if they can really get Lo Celso worked into the system, if he can help them in that regard. But to my point, I think things are still working decently for Spurs.
Sure, they're in first place. I mean, you know, clearly.
Right. It's just kind of a concern of how sustainable are Son's numbers versus the numbers that Salah and Bruno and KDB will surely being putting up between now and the end of the year.
Wow. When did Juan Foyth is on loan at Villarreal? This is news to me, Brandon. Do you know about this?
Well, there's a non sequitur for you.
Well, I was looking at all the Spurs players on the fantasy site.
Well, who was the new dude that started at center back today? His name was hold on.
Yeah, Rodon.
Yeah, Rodon.
Joe Rodon.
Where did he come from? I obviously, a lot of people probably know better than me where he came from, but you know, they've just got center backs grown out of their ears there at White Hart Lane.
Yeah, I thought he played pretty well too. I thought he looked okay. Yeah. It's too bad. He's 5 million. It would have been nice if he was a little bit cheap. Actually, 5 million is not that bad, really. I think he's replacing Toby, who's out for a month or so with a groin injury. All right, let's move on to the next question. Who's the best game week 11 captain? I think the answer is kind of obvious here. So let's also talk about a possible upside chasing pick. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Obvious choice would be Kevin De Bruyne again at the Etihad, keeping that home form going against Fulham, who we talked about the process of working out who the true whipping boys of the league are, and the fact that Fulham, you know, it's in their DNA to play a little more open. They're going to get absolutely destroyed, the poor lads. Who are the upside picks? I guess you mentioned the North London Derby, and I'm wondering how tricky a fixture that is for Spurs, because there is no real attack right now for Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they going to do against Spurs? And their defense, I think, is being exposed as not as great as perhaps they were at the start of the season. Harry Kane has a long history with scoring in this fixture. Why not Kane? Why isn't he an upside pick?
I think Kane is a reasonable pick. You know, I was going to say he loves the London Derby, but then of course he barely, I don't know. He had one, you know, honestly, he had a big chance early on in this match where he set up, what's his name? I'm forgetting. Of course I'm blank. Bergwijn, who, what happened to him? Jeez, Bergwijn, you know, he looked so good for a while last season, but he set up Bergwijn, and Bergwijn skied, honestly, what should have probably been a goal, and a big chance missed for him for sure. And if that goal happens, I think we see a very different match, right? It's 1-0 Spurs early on. I think we're looking at like a much more high scoring affair because, you know, I think that would have changed how both teams had played. But yeah, so I think that, you know, McCain is, it's really, I mean, he is setting everybody up and, you know, and it's just like, I guess just the concern is like, is he just not going to like, they're just not going to have anybody who plays as a forward anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm just a little, I mean, but you know, it hasn't hurt him in fantasy so far. I mean, he is what the, you know, pretty far and away the top scoring forward in fantasy. He's 14 points ahead of Dominic Calvert-Lewin, who's had an amazing season as well. So,
yeah,
you know, so yeah, I think he's an option. I think that, and I'm with you. I think that KDB is the clear favorite. I think you could pick somebody else on Van City, maybe a Raheem Sterling, which obviously feels risky now, but I think it could be worth the risk if you're just having a crummy season and you want to take a chance. What about Bruno Fernandes away to West Ham? I think that could be a pretty good captain shout too.
Yeah, God, I just don't know what to make of this fixture, West Ham, Manchester United. I think I'm curious to scout West Ham and how they look against Aston Villa, but West Ham have put in some really sturdy performances this season. And
They have. It's just, you know, so had Southampton, and Bruno was just kind of, he's just good. Like, I mean, this is like a great analysis here, but like, he's just like, it's kind of like, he's just got kind of a little bit of everything. You know, he's really, his aggression is he's a real fun player to watch, isn't he? He's just a real pleasure to watch on the pitch.
He is fun. I mean, he's the better version of Martial, where Bruno can be prone to being like mopey. Like, I feel like this season you get a mopey emotional version of Bruno in the first half, and then somebody has a word with him in the locker room, and then he comes out with a short sleeve top on and he absolutely annihilates the opposing team. I mean, he was going to do it all himself in that second half, which was kind of incredible. I can't argue with that. I also think, like, Liverpool in a week like this, I think Mo Salah is in a way an upside captaincy pick, just given how heavily captained Manchester City are going to be, home Fulham. So Salah, there's still a lot of points that will be on the table there for a Salah or even a Jota captaincy. It'd be Wolves.
No, I agree. One of the questions I had for this week's pod, which we can just pull up now, is are there any doubts left about Jota? I mean, do we have to? You were a little on the fence still last week, and have you seen enough now?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, fine. I just want to stop talking about this. Jota is a great player. He's great, and it's worked. Okay. I think Klopp came out in a press conference and was like, "Yeah, even I'm astounded at how like seamlessly Jota has fit in. I didn't expect this transfer to work out this well, but here we are." So, you know, I think like Jurgen Klopp, Josh. You know, that's kind of where I'm at.
Sure. I'm like Bruno Fernandes, you're like Jurgen Klopp. It's a good
exactly. I'm on board. I think it still gets a little complicated in how Klopp starts all of these guys. So Mane, there's just no way Mane's starting from the bench. I think you could make the case that Mane needed a rest after the international break and a lot of football. So Jota, we kind of knew he was going to start on the left, and that's great. And I'm not trying to argue that Jota isn't a great pick if he plays somewhere else on the pitch. I think as far as FPL discussions go, price plus points, Jota, thumbs up. I think that's great. But I still don't see myself picking up Jota if my sights are set on Salah. I mean, how pissed off was Salah when he got subbed off? Salah could not stand the fact that he got subbed off and Jota, the goal scorer, was still on the pitch. He hated him.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, it was fun to see. It's always fun to see that. It's actually scary not owning Salah after a moment like that, right? You're like, ugh, God. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Given all these midfield options, I don't know how. You have, well, I guess there's an easy way to solve that where you have Jota and Salah, but I don't know. Lots of players.
Yeah. Hard to fit them all in, you know, that's.
Is your plan to get them both, Salah and Jota?
Yeah. I think my plan right now, the really simple move would be to go Rashford and Son to De Bruyne and Jota. And then I would probably actually move De Bruyne to Salah in game week 12. I don't know. I mean, De Bruyne doesn't feel like an essential player this season for me. Even as good as he looked yesterday, I just don't know what to think about that. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to bring him in, you know, like he's coming in this week. There's no doubt about that. It is going to happen immediately.
Bring him in for one game week, the hokey cokey.
Well, maybe. I mean, you know, otherwise it's like, I'm going to have to really make some tough decisions. I mean, do I really want to drop Bruno Fernandes? You know, costs a million. I mean, it's very hard to have Mo Salah and Kevin De Bruyne and Bruno Fernandes. I mean, it's like, this is like the question we all had going into the season. Now, maybe Kane has to get dropped, to fund this. Maybe that's, you know, maybe that's how I make it happen.
I've got a way to do it with my squad and keep Kane, but my defense kind of becomes, I'm just so enamored of my defense right now. I had it so cool and interesting. Mendy and Goal, Bellerin and Dean. Oh, we were just like lots of really cool guys.
You had it
and
all.
It's all broken. And now I just have to turn them all into 4.5 dudes. And that will open the door for me to get all my premium attacks in.
Yeah, it's very tricky this season. It really is. And I like that about the game. I mean, I think it made for a fun season. And I think that, you know, that's just, and maybe that's actually, it's good perspective, really, when you think about it. It means that you're going to have weeks where a lot of people do well and you don't. And it's going to mean that there are weeks when you do well and other people, like, it means like we don't all rise and fall together this season. And often in fantasy, you sort of hit this moment where you're all sort of, you know, like you're all kind of riding the same wave or crashing at the same time. And I feel like that hasn't been the case this season because everyone's so expensive that you just can't have all these folks. And so I think that it is useful maybe to hold on to that and remember, well, I'm having a really bad game week this week, but there's just no way that everyone could get in who I have without using a wild card or burning a bunch of points or whatever, which is a win for me too. So I think that, you know, it's just good to hold on to that maybe. Final question is, cause we talked about, I think we've answered every other one so far. It's just fantasy wise, what can we now say about Chelsea? So talked about Ziyech a little bit already. Two things I want to ask you about. One is, Timo Werner, and the other one is, the Tammy question has been answered, right? We talked about him in last week's pod. No. Tammy's well, I don't know why Giroud's not playing it. Like I've done like a full 180 where I'm just like, play Giroud, like give me a break, like get Tammy out of there. The question one is about the defense, which I guess you talked about a little bit already, because you know, you've got a Chelsea defender now in Mendy. I have none, and it's really concerning to me. So I'm asking like too many questions at once. So Timo Werner, what do you think about Timo Werner?
There are just too many better options, I think, than Timo Werner. And I feel like the better options might not be in real life, like better players. So am I going to say Patrick Bamford is a better striker than Timo? No, obviously not. But as far as how Timo's price fits into what we want our FPL squads to look like, I don't think that there's a lot of upside to him. I don't think he's going to be delivering the level of points that's going to make Werner worthy of an upside chase. That's not working for me. So no, I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the reality is he's, and this may change, I guess, if Pulisic stays healthy and Havertz comes back. It's like all these variables, but right now he's a forward playing out of position, well, in a position that he can play in, but he, you know, he's playing as a out of position in the fantasy game as on the left. And he does get some opportunities. He obviously scored an offside goal today, but he's just not, if anything, he has more assist potential right now than he does as an out and out goal scorer. And, and it feels like my feeling right now about the whole Chelsea attack, which is the one I had a couple weeks ago before I got a little seduced in hindsight by, you know, maybe Ziyech destroying Burnley and Sheffield should not have informed my decision making that much. I got like a combined 4 points piece, you know, between them this season. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know who's going to get points on that team, like who the attacking assets to own are. And if there's not a clear answer to that question, usually the answer is just to avoid them. And this is why it's perfectly in line with the Man City discussion we're having, which is, yeah, sure, any combination of Torres and Sterling and Mahrez and whomever may be valuable, but it's so hard to know that it's not really worth the gamble.
Yeah, I think the caveat for me is I have actually grown in I've grown to appreciate Lampard in the last month or so. I do think that Chelsea look good, and I think that you look at the mess that Arteta is going through at Arsenal right now. Granted, Arteta doesn't have half the players that Frank Lampard has, but I think Lampard is really figuring it out. I think Chelsea are looking really solid back to front. And yes, like the FPL problem is, as you say, Josh, I don't know who's going to score the goals, but I think where you're missing out would be the fullbacks with Reece James and Chilwell. I feel a little exposed with Mendy in goal, because if you look at Chelsea's fixtures coming up, Leeds, these guys love to attack. Everton, Wolves, but it's all attacking teams.
Yeah.
For the next couple, for the, like the rest of the year. Yeah. So I think it's really going to test that Chelsea defense. So I think you'd really feel better having the attack possibilities of Chilwell and James.
Yeah. Chilwell looks awesome. Yeah. And James actually looks great too. And maybe James probably, there's no maybe about it at this point. James really does seem like a great buy at 5.1 million, low ownership too. So I may try to bring him in. I'm still, I don't know. My defense is still a little bit of a mess, a problem to solve in a future game week, Brandon. But yeah, I'm with you. And I think Ziyech is going to get one more week. I mean, he's kind of playing out of position too. In theory, he might play in the hole with Havertz on the right. I mean, if like next Saturday it was Pulisic on the left, Werner up front, Havertz on the right, Ziyech in the hole, I would be a lot more excited about having him, right? Yeah. Whereas right now it's Ziyech, you know, again, pulled into the parking lot, sure, outside the stadium.
Yeah. And he's just like, sir, you can't park there.
All right, Brent, it should be a pretty fun game week. Some pretty interesting matches kind of up and down, some interesting top of the table clashes, some like Liverpool Wolves, I think. I mean, hopefully Jimenez is okay. He probably actually won't play in this one.
I can't see how he would, yeah, but that would be amazing if he did. Yeah. And I think Wolves will still, Nuno knows how to set up a team.
Yep.
For better or worse.
For sure.
So, yeah, it'll be a fun match for sure.
Yeah. And a lot of mid-table-ish kind of things. I mean, Villa Newcastle, I think, could be fun. Obviously, you have the North London Derby, Brighton Southampton, what do they call
South Coast Derby.
South Coast Derby. Yeah, exactly. So
I dare say West Brom Crystal Palace has got me interested.
Yeah, there was a question about West Brom, but whether we need to start taking them seriously or at least
keep trying
something. And I was like, I'm not ready for that discussion yet. So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I probably will have Jota and De Bruyne. That seems like the really clear and obvious moves to make. But I have two transfers. I could maybe do three and do like a little mini wild card. I'm not sure that's the smartest move. I may just go two. I don't know. It's like, you get two transfers, you start getting crazy. So, sure. what are your plan moves for this week?
Well, my issue is Lucas Digne, and right, I know his price is probably going to start sinking this week. And I feel like I have to move him just so I can get some defensive rotation going, because James Justin's minutes are kind of going to be in trouble now that Pereira is back in full team training. Rodgers said that we might see Pereira in the Europa League this week, or the following week. So that's a concern. So here's my issue with the transfers. All the marquee transfers that I want to make, particularly like the primo midfielders like Salah and Bruno, I can't do them this week unless I like burn a massive amount of points. So this is going to be a really somber week, I think, where I do something like turn Digne into Diaz or Kufal and take my lumps. And then heading into game week 12, that's when things get a little spicier for me, I think.
I love Digne to Diaz. I mean, if there's one thing that came out of the transfer discussion we had earlier, is that I think we are overthinking things sometimes with this and trying to think too many weeks ahead or trying to optimize everything. And maybe, it's just that fix your weakest link, right? Like,
That may be so, but I think I'm definitely, if I go that route, I think it's a decent short-term transfer, but I'm going to just paint myself into a corner with these expensive defenders where I need that money. You know, as I was talking about getting those four primos, Kane, right, Salah, Bruno and KDB. If I want to do that, Diaz is probably not going to make it work.
Yeah. That makes sense. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you, Brandon. I need it.
Yeah. All right.
Please keep me in your thoughts.
We're going to take one last break and then we're going to share with you our interview with Tilly Webb. Brandon, 2020 has reshaped how we work. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time. There are no long-term contracts. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post. Try Indeed out at Indeed.com/BlueWire. So you need to put in that Blue Wire to get that $75 credit. Brandon, this is their best offer available anywhere. That's an all caps anywhere for you, Brandon, in case you weren't paying attention. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, gang, sports are back. They're in full swing. No matter what's going on in the world right now, we do love our sports. And while you might not be able to be at the game this year, you can still bet on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division and championship futures all day, every day. So head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all their great sign-up bonuses. We need to talk about those sign-up bonuses. They are awesome. And you can access them with our promo code BLUEWIRE. So head to betonline.ag and use that promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Fellas, Brandon, I'm glad I get a chance to address the fellas this time. It's usually you. 2020 has been hard for us to stay as hygienic as we should be. I certainly know that's true. Luckily, our partners at Manscaped made it easier to turn your bathroom into your own private salon. Manscaped is on a mission to change the grooming game with their below-the-waist grooming and hygiene products, and they just released products in the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia. Brandon, we're huge in Canada. Obviously, we're huge in the UK. Huge
in Australia. Ontario, too. Where are you at?
Yeah, we're big in New Zealand. Big, you know, but UK, Canada, and Australia, that's where Manscaped has released their products recently. The Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer offers a replaceable ceramic blade with advanced skin-safe technology. It's a lot of descriptive power there, Brandon. I had to tread carefully, which helps reduce grooming accidents. Also, it's waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. These formulas are all vegan, cruelty-free, dye-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free. You and your partner could also use the Crop Preserver deodorant, an anti-chafing deodorant designed to defend against below-the-waist odors.
I'm a big fan of these of those products in particular, Josh.
I know, Brandon. You're not just a pitch man. You're also a client. I respect that about you. And their foot deodorant is so good, you can even reduce the odor of the dirtiest feet. Brandon, I have to tell you, I have a 4-year-old daughter. She finds my feet truly disgusting to a degree that I think is unfair, to be quite honest.
Does she call you the Hobbit?
She just hates them. You know, she really hates. She thinks they're very smelly, and it's a real problem. So I may have to have my wife get some of this for me for Christmas. Use code ALWAYS and get 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Let's visit manscaped.com at 20% off and free shipping. Use the code ALWAYS. All right, we're back, and we're welcoming Mark and Tilly to the podcast. Mark and Tilly, welcome to the pod, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks, great to be here. Yeah.
Okay, you might be wondering who Mark and Tilly are, and Tilly really is the star of this group, and Mark being her dad. We found out about Tilly when, Mark, you tweeted at Always Cheating last weekend to say, after game week 9, Tilly, your daughter, was ranked number 2 in the Always Cheating Super League. And for those of you who aren't in the Super League, this is our public league that's free to join, and there are nearly 20,000 managers in that league. And Tilly, the very talented 8-year-old, is ranked number 2 after game week 9.
By comparison's sake, Brandon is ranked like 15,000 right now. So it's pretty good.
We just had to meet you and have you on the podcast and find out how you're doing this season, how you're doing so well this season.
Yeah. What are your, well, how are you doing so well? What are your tips, sweetheart?
Well, I don't listen to daddy.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. Yeah.
Really that smart. Is one of the tips, isn't it? Yeah. So we wildcarded after week one because you wanted to get some Villa players in because we're both Aston Villa fans. And we had room for one more cheap defender. And so I showed her all like the typical kind of guys you might go for. Here's some options, Lamptey and Walker Peters. And what did you say?
I want a Villa defender.
Yeah, smart. So I said, no, you don't really don't want a Villa defender. But we showed her some Villa defenders and said we got Cash and we got Target. But you said you wanted
Konsa.
Konsa, yeah. I said, no, you really don't want Ezri Konsa. But he decided to go for Konsa. And of course, he got, do you remember how many points he got that week? 15 wow. points, yeah. Wow. They won 1-0. He got man of the match. He scored the only goal. He got a clean sheet. And so from then on in, we decided, I think we'll just go with whatever Tilly wants.
Right. And it's working out so well for you right now. You're ranked 634 overall in the world after the Manchester United-Southampton match. So, Dad, how do you feel? How do you feel about this? Are you feeling jealous? Do you feel like maybe you're creating a monster here, and you're never gonna win in the household again?
Yeah, I've become more interested in her team than my team. I run like three or four teams at the moment, not including Tilly's, and my teams do dreadful.
But yeah, I was gonna say, how are you? What? Yeah, do you know what your rank is right now, Mark? How you're doing so far in the game?
I really don't know. I think I'm inside the top million, which is kind of normal for me, just to be about there, just to be okay. But yeah. I've never been as high as anywhere near as high as Tilly.
So Tilly, you're an Aston Villa fan, and I like Villa. I have three Villa players in my fantasy team right now too. I've got two defenders, so I'm with you. I didn't get the right one though. I got Matt Target, who's okay, but Konsa, I think he was the best. And I've got Martinez, who I think is a really good goalkeeper. I think you guys are really lucky to have him. And then I didn't get Jack Grealish, and I do regret that a little bit. He's pretty good.
Yeah, that was one of the players you insisted on at the beginning. So, you know, I insisted on some cheap players. I thought, well, if you get these, you can afford some better players. Yeah. And then you, who did you insist on? Do you remember which were your players you wanted in your team? Yeah, do you remember who they were?
Grealish,
yeah.
Watkins.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Watkins, yeah.
And Salah.
And Kane, because that was the name of her team. Is no Kane, no gain. And so it's kind of been like a self-fulfilling prophecy that she kept Kane and she kept doing.
He's been so good all year. Well, so Tilly, you know, our goal on the podcast, the goal for this season is to make fantasy fun again and make sure that we're having fun. So what, for you, when you play fantasy, when you're watching the matches, what is the most fun part to you? What do you like the most?
I like it when my players do really well and score all the goals.
That's smart.
Which has happened a lot this year.
Do you have a favorite player, Tilly?
Well, I have some favorite players. I've got Harry Kane, Jack Grealish, Son, and Salah.
Oh, those guys are all good.
So, go ahead, Josh. Say, who do you like?
What's that?
Who do you like? Who are your favorite players, Josh?
Who are mine? That's a good question. Well, I love Juan Mata, who doesn't really play that much anymore. And I loved Santi. See, Tilly, I'm short, so I love all of the short players. So I love Sergio Aguero, Juan Mata, Santi Cazorla, who used to play for Arsenal. Who are some other short guys? Really, if you're short, I'm probably going to be a fan of you as a player.
Yeah, though this has not been a banner season for short players. Daniel Podence, who is a player I've had in my team, not really done well. I'm doing much better with the tall players like Harry Kane. So I think speaking of Kane, he's been a great captaincy option. Tilly, how do you come to decide who your captain is going to be week to week? Do you have any special tricks there?
Well, Daddy shows me all the players that I can get, and he gives me some options, and I choose which one of those I want.
Do you just go on your instinct? You just have a feeling that particular player is going to do well that week?
Yeah.
It's a gut call. I feel like sometimes that's the best way to manage fantasy teams. Just go with your gut instinct and don't pour over the stats.
Yeah, so, she picks names she likes as well. So you say about making fantasy fun. I guess for Tilly, it's picking players that she likes to root for as well, which I know isn't a great fantasy tactic, but it just adds an extra dimension where the Villa players that she wants to follow, she actually picks for the team and then gets to root for them with an added dimension, which is...
I think that is more fun. I like having at least one or two players that I have Marcus Rashford in my team right now, and, you know, he hasn't really done much in my team, but he's just a great guy to have because I just like him. You know, I want him to do well because he's such a nice person. So, Tilly, I have a question for you. You met my daughter at the very start of this call, and she's 4, much younger than you, you know, half your age. But when did you start playing? When did you, do you remember, is this your first season doing fantasy with your dad, or have you done it before?
I haven't done it before. Well, I think I started at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you remember how you started? Who was playing?
My uncle with his children.
Your two cousins, yeah.
Yeah, and they wanted to pick their players, and I asked if I could do my team. So I joined in, and I'm playing now.
So what's the buy-in here, Tilly? Like £1,000? That's what you had to spend to get into this big family pool?
College fund.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I just spent the first month just setting you up for disappointment. Like, you know, this is going to be hard, and you know, just make sure you try and get above your cousins, Joshua and Jacob, and that's your own competition. But basically, the kind of like family league that we're in, she's already won it already. So. She's so far ahead of everybody else.
100 points up. So do you get anything if you win, Tilly? Is it just bragging rights, or do you get any, is there a prize?
I don't know.
There was no prize decided. I just didn't expect to do this well. So we're going to have to decide on the prize.
You got to make your dad take you out to dinner or something, Tilly, you know, if you win. What's your favorite kind of food?
Well, my favorite meal is chicken wraps.
Yeah, chicken fajitas. Yeah, chicken wraps. Yeah.
They come sizzling right out of the kitchen.
That's the rule.
Mark, for you, it must be a dream. I mean, to be a parent and to be a football fan and to get your kids involved at an early age. I mean, were you kind of planning on this to get Tilly involved, or just kind of a happy accident? And what is it like now on the weekends when you as a family can kind of share in that football experience? It must be a blast.
Well, it is actually great to just do it together, yeah, as father and daughter. But like I say, I wasn't that keen on her getting involved because it is a life of frustration and misery sometimes, fantasy football, and just constant making the wrong choice. And so I keep trying to set her up for that, look, there is still a chance that, you know, you're going to plummet down the leagues and it's not, you know, it's not going to be a happy ending, but she just kept getting better and better. And so it has been a, happy accident.
Well, hopefully when the lockdowns are lifted, you guys can actually go see some real football. How far away are you from Villa Park?
We're just a couple of miles away. It's just a bus ride, really.
Yeah.
Over into Birmingham. Yeah. Well, we got to go to a couple of important games last year, not with Tilly, but
get
highlights of Villa staying up last year.
As a Fulham supporter, I've gotten to know this squad a fair bit. We had that amazing championship final in which I think it was Ryan Fredericks tried to actually break Jack Grealish's leg. Not that we condone that kind of activity, but it's been great to see that Villa squad sort of stick with it and come back up and do what they're doing now.
That does actually remind me, Brandon, we went to the King Power. There was that girl behind us who yelled, "Break his legs!"
Yeah, there were not a lot of Jack Grealish fans at that Leicester match, for sure. But I think he's the type of player that engenders that sort of reaction. Everyone's just jealous of how skilled and how handsome he is. Man, I do love Jack Grealish, too.
Yeah, I'd love to go to Villa Park. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, him playing for England has kind of brought people together. Because, he was very divisive. A long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's yeah, we went to we had one of our Patreon supporters, Paul Parsons, got us tickets to the Leicester match last season. So we went to the King Power, and it was really, you know, it's very interesting going to a match in the. Have you been to Villa Park before, Tilly? Have you gone with your dad to a match?
No.
Oh, one day. Maybe that'll be a prize. Maybe there'll
be
fans.
That could be a prize, yeah. That could be a prize.
That'd be fun. But it was really cool because we'd seen matches in London and we'd seen matches in Manchester. But I actually think the King Power experience was maybe the most fun because it really felt like a family experience. And like this guy, Paul, who took us around, he was like the mayor of the King Power. I mean, everywhere he went, he was saying hi to people. And it was really cool. I mean, it reminded me of, you know, I actually think in American sports, the college football or college sports experience is closer to the Premier League than the professional experience because you have people wearing jerseys and you
singing
know,
songs.
And yeah, and you don't get that as much in the American, you know, like baseball, it's a little more like you just wear your normal clothes, you know, it's not quite as, so yeah, it's really cool. So maybe next time we're in England, we can go up to Villa Park and we can meet you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
Tilly, cool. Do you ever think you're going to put on your own boots and get out there on the pitch and play football yourself?
No.
No.
We've made our house into a makeshift football pitch a few times. And try to recreate some Jack Grealish moments.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. I've been doing that with my daughter too. Yeah, we're kicking the ball around the backyard a little bit too. So, all right, so Tilly, final question. Do you have any advice for all the fantasy managers out there who wish that they were 634 in the world?
Well, I think my daddy would want to be. And maybe my uncle.
Have you got any advice for people? People, how to pick players and how to do well?
Yeah, we're not listening to Mark or to your uncle, Tilly. I'm sorry.
Well, we trust you, Tilly. Only you.
But that is, you make your own decisions, don't you?
Yeah.
What things do you look at when you're picking players?
Well, I like the names of them. And...
So so every player called James, she's got in her team. She's got James, James Rodriguez, and Rhys James because of her uncle James.
Oh.
Yeah, you just make your own decisions, don't you?
I feel like you fit right in with the Always Cheating family, Tilly, because Josh and I pick players for their names legendarily. Poku, Mbakani, Sorloth, Vokes. Yeah. These are all players that for one reason or another really captured our attention, and their names are a big part of that. So I think that's
I think make your own decisions is really good advice too, because I think that that's something that is actually very hard for people to do. It's something I struggle with. You know, you see all these people out there telling you, oh, you got to get this person. You got to get this person. It sounds like Tilly, your dad probably says, oh, you got to get this person. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I think when you make your own decisions and things go really well, that's more fun anyway, because you picked it yourself, you know, and it was your choice. Yeah, congrats to you. I think it's really cool that you're doing so well this year.
Yeah, congrats, Tilly. And thank you for coming on the Always Cheating podcast. We hope you'll remember us when, flash forward a few years, and you have the biggest FPL podcast going right now.
When Arsenal Fan TV, you know, and we're just in this memory.
Right. And we should also thank Jim Payne, who kind of is the glue that holds this call together. We love you, Jim. And
his wife has given us strict instructions not to feed his ego.
Fair enough.
Be careful what we say.
It's too late now, I think. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. All right. Well, great to meet both of you, Mark and Tilly. And the Spurs Chelsea match is about to kick off, so good luck. I assume you have Rhys James playing, Tilly, so good luck to you. And Harry Kane probably too, right?
Yep.
Great stuff. Thanks right. again, guys.
Thanks
Enjoy
so
the
much.
Rest of the season.
Great to see you.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye.